would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We have been studying the first 9 verses to look at the model minister. And what Paul, he was defending his ministry and the ministry of Timothy and Silas as they labored among the Thessalonians. And in the last part of this chapter, he deals with the aim of the model ministry. And that starts in verse 10. Well, not in the last part, the middle part here. It says in verse 10, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." Now, the aim of a minister of Christ is to provide a proper example for the saints of God to follow. And he tells the Thessalonians, "You were eyewitnesses. You saw how we lived, how we conducted ourselves, what we said, how we worked, how we taught." And he calls them to remember how Paul and Silas and Timothy had behaved themselves, how they had interacted with them. And I believe that they gave them a godly example, the right example. And every pastor ought to set forth an example of godliness and a desire for holiness before the people that he pastors. It's one of the reasons why in the qualifications for the bishop, the elder, the pastor, there are qualifications that have to do with a man's moral conduct, how he rules his house, how he has marital fidelity to his wife. He's faithful to his wife, and he's faithful to teach his children. He ought to have a measure of morality. And Paul declares that the members of the church at Thessalonica, as well as God, notice, he said, "Ye are witnesses and God also." What a wonderful thing to remember. God sees you. God sees us. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Hebrews says, "All things are naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." How we ought to remember that. Thou, God, seest me. And so Paul says, you saw how we lived, and God sees how we live before you. He declares that they had witnessed the conduct of holiness while he and his missionary companions ministered there. He says they behaved themselves holily. That's an English word. And it means that they strove to maintain a testimony of purity before the eyes of God and man. A desire, I mean, think about what Jesus said in the Beatitudes and in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Purity of heart is something that every Christian ought to desire. Certainly every pastor ought to want that purity of heart so they can see the glory of God more clearly here by faith and there when we get to glory. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Paul told the Hebrews, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Now, I realize that none of us are holy or perfect like God is. But that ought to be our ideal. That ought to be our standard. It's what we ought to be shooting for. Pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God that is in Christ Jesus. Not settling for, well, I measure up pretty good when I measure myself against Jim Baxter or John Bills or Tammy Pemberton. No, we need to measure ourselves against God. The glory of God, the greatness of God, the power of God. Remember, He's watching us. We ought to desire this purity of heart. And certainly, that ought to be, every pastor ought to aspire to holiness. Your preachers are handling the holy things of God, the Word of God, the only thing that we have in our possession that is actually holy. They're called the Holy Scriptures. And the man of God is called to preach the Word of God. So you need to pray for your pastor. You need to pray for men who handle God's Word, that they do it with the right kind of testimony. Because you see what happens. The world loves to see preachers foul up. They love to see preachers fall. It'll be in the news. You never hear any news about people being saved. God's healing hand bringing somebody out of darkness into His marvelous light, or healing somebody of an ailment. You never hear that in the news. You never hear about the wonderful song service that was at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church on Sunday morning, and how the saints of God were lifting up their voices in praise. You never hear news like that. But I guarantee you, when a preacher fouls up, it's all over. The community, it's all over around about. And sadly, I think there are actually other churches that delight in that kind of news. It's sad. It's wicked. Pray for preachers that they will aim for holiness. That I will aim for holiness. That would be my desire as I lead you, as I teach you and direct you. And I know I have many failings. I'm a sinner. I sign all of my correspondence, a sinner saved by sovereign grace. I know that I know what's in my heart, and I know that I have to go to the Lord every single day and seek His face, repent of sin, ask for forgiveness of worldliness, waywardness in my thoughts, prayerlessness, unbelief. But Paul had strove to maintain a testimony of purity. And that ought to be true of every man who preaches the Word of God. And then they behave themselves, it says, how holily and justly. meaning that they delighted in, obeyed, and walked within the parameters of God's standard of righteousness. That's what doing justly means. It's just simply living right. Within the parameters of God's commandments, His laws, His principles, His truths. Paul said in Romans 7 and verse 21, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Now, a lot of people in our day, when they hear a preacher say that, he believes that you're saved by keeping the law. Never have believed that, never will believe that. No flesh shall be justified by the deeds of the law. We are saved by grace through faith. But I tell you what, you've got a real problem. If your preacher doesn't love God's Word, doesn't love His law, doesn't love His commandments, and strive to follow them and walk in them. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. We shouldn't be afraid of that. We ought to delight in it. We ought to rejoice in it. And certainly the man of God who's called to teach and preach and lead the flock of God, he ought to love God's commandments and love His truth. Otherwise, he has no business preaching the Word of God. You don't even love God's Word enough to desire to walk in it. So they believed. They behaved themselves justly. Now, this is what's interesting. The result of living justly before men flows from the inward practice of holiness. Holiness is something that's internal. See? Just behavior is external. It's how you behave. So, the result of living justly before men flows from the inward practice of holiness and an outward testimony of righteousness, honesty, integrity. If the man of God is desiring to be holy internally and walk justly within the parameters and the commands of the Word of God and the law of God and the truth of God and the life of Jesus Christ as His model, then that'll lead to a testimony of righteousness. A testimony of honesty. And one of integrity. And that is sorely needed in the ministry. And then he says that they were unblameable. Meaning that they were free from any immoral behavior that could disqualify them from the ministry of the gospel. Every minister must aim to be pure in the eyes of God, obedient to God's commandments, and have a love for His holy law, and blameless in the eyes of men. That's a high standard. But one that must be aimed for if a pastor is to have an effective ministry. And I pray that God will give grace to every true pastor to follow the admonition given by Paul to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20:28. You know what he said? Very first thing. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. You know, I've met preachers that felt like they were above everybody. That they didn't have to be held to any standard. That they could do whatever they wanted, how they pleased. They were the preacher. They were the man of God. And many of them, they didn't live right. They didn't act right. They didn't treat people right. And I tell you what, you should never have a pastor like that. That doesn't care about the people that he ministers to enough to try. And listen, I have so many failings. I know that. But my desire is to live for the Lord, to walk with Him, to honor Him, and to provide the right kind of example. I realize little eyes are watching me all the time. My grandkids, your kids, your grandkids. Take heed, therefore, to yourself. And to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. In word, in conversation, that doesn't mean merely what you say. The English word, the old English word conversation, was much more than just speech. It involved your way of life, how you acted. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, which is agape love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You know, Timothy followed that. And Paul is defending him here. This is how we behaved among you. You witnessed our testimony as well as God. And then a true minister and pastor will aim to instruct, encourage, and exhort the spiritual children of God that are under His charge